All prophets say, are those who know equal to those who do not know?
The Immortals, a link to the life and works of Persian and Muslim dignitaries.
Fortunate is he who remembers Allah abundantly. Worldly distractions cannot mildly sway his thoughts of Allah and Judgment Day.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Muslims and friends in faith from around the world, welcome to the program The Immortals, coming to you from the Call of Islam radio station, Holy City of Qom, Islamic Republic of Iran. In this program, under the title The Immortals, we are mainly concerned with the lives and works of Persian Shiite dignitaries in different fields of studies. With the presence of Dr. Fakh Rohani, the expert of Ahlabel Literature, Ashura Literature, and Linguistics. Dr. Fakh Rohani is currently a faculty member of the University of Qom. Thank you very much, Dr. Fakh Rohani, for accepting our invitation to the program, The Immortals.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your invitation.
Dr. Fakh Rohani, for our first program, we would like to, in fact, start with the life and the biography of a very important and outstanding scholar, that is Allama Majlisi. You know, in order to just introduce him very briefly, I would like to say that Muhammad Baqir Majlisi, son of Muhammad Taqi Majlisi, was popularly known as Allama Majlisi, in fact, the second, or Allama Majlisi Jr., was born in the city of Isfahan in the Arabic lunar year 1037 AH. You know, he was from, in fact, a noble family and one of the most honored families of the Shiite during the recent centuries. And we can say there are near 100 and many great other Islamic scholars grown in this family. Dr. Fakh Rohani, let's start with his own life. In what situation Allama Majlisi was born? And I would like to say, give us some fine general information about his character, and then we get to some details about his life.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As you know, the late Allama Majlisi was a great Shiite scholar.
Okay.
Actually, the word Allama, this is a title. I mean, an honorific and a title used for top-ranking scholars. It means that the most knowledgeable Allama in English, if
or the most learned one, in fact.
Yes, right. And the most learned or the most knowledgeable person.
Okay.
And actually, the late Allama Majlisi, Allama Muhammad Baqir Majlisi, or as it's written in Arabic text, Allama Muhammad Baqir Majlisi, he was the son of the late Allama Muhammad Taqi Majlisi.
Right.
His father also was a learned man, was a great man, okay. Was a scholar. But the academic reputation of the late Allama Muhammad Baqir al-Majlisi is chiefly due to his magnus opus,
okay.
I mean, the great masterpiece,
mm-hmm.
in his lifetime.
That's right.
That is, Bihar al-Anwar,
okay.
I mean, which is available nowadays in 110 volumes.
That's right.
Okay? In fact, Bahar al-Anwar was a great book and still regarded as an authority in Hadith scholarship. However, as you posed this question, I should like to mention that the time of Allama Muhammad Baqir al-Majlisi was coincident with the coming to power of the Safavid dynasty. Before the Safavid dynasties, coming to power in Iran, the dominant denomination in Iran was Sunni denomination.
Yeah.
However, when the Safavid rulers and Safavid kings came and occupied the power, and they got to power, and they made Isfahan as the capital,
that's right.
Capital city, they declared the Shiite denomination as the state denomination. And I should like to say that since that day until now, the Shiite denomination is the official denomination of Iran. So, in a word, we owe our belief in Islam, in true Islam, in Shiite Islam, partly to the political endeavors and political efforts of the Safavid dynasty.
That's right.
Politically speaking, the Safavid dynasty established good relationship with some Western countries, I mean Western states of the day.
Okay.
And they can be regarded as some pioneers of internationalization of the Iranian culture. I mean, westward, they had good relations with some European countries of the day. And eastward, they had good relationships with India.
That's right.
I mean, in the time of the Safavid rulers, we find that quite a great number of Iranian Shiite scholars moved from Iran to India. And even in southern parts of India, those basically Iranian rulers tried to keep their contacts with the Safavid dynasties in Iran. However, I should like to say that such a great scholar like Allama Majlisi deserves utmost attention because he spent his lifetime entirely on a scholarship.
Okay.
Not on secular scholarship, but on religious scholarship.
That's right.
Okay. According to some lists, more than 280 and perhaps around 290 scholars graduated from his school of thought.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Some of his disciples made very important academic religious dignitaries
right.
of the day. At the same time, I should like to mention that it was due to the great and indefatigable efforts of the late Allama Majlisi that he preserved and restored a great number of Shiite hadiths and Shiite texts.
You know, you importantly referred to the concept of the educating the students, and this was very nice at that time. In fact, in order to name some of the, in fact, some of his important, for example, students, I would like to say that, for example, Abdul Razak Kashani was one of the, in fact, the most important ones, or Zainul Abidin, son of Sheikh Khor Ameli,
yes.
Also was one of his students. Mirza Abdullah Afandi Isfahani, or the author of Riyazul Ulama, was also, in fact, his student. Muhammad son of Ismail Fasai Shirazi, you know, he was also a Muhammad son of Hassan, known as Fazil Hindi or Sayyid Nematullah Jazairi. These, in fact, were some of his most important scholars. They themselves were great scholars, okay? These in fact, list. Of course, there's also other, you know, great scholars in the field of religious studies and non-religious ones who were the students of Allama Majlisi. Sorry to interrupt.
Yes, no. Quite a useful contribution. I should like to say that, I mean, such a learned person like the late Allama Majlisi, although he was very much attentive to scholarship and writing and editing texts, he also tried to educate some people. I mean, and in this way, he tried to restore the Isfahan school of Shiite scholarship.
Right.
I mean, even today, when a university professor has some very important notions in his or her mind, it would be better for him or her to educate some of his or her students.
That's
I mean,
right.
to pursue the same lines of academic inquiry.
Okay.
The same Allama Majlisi did in his lifetime. As I indicated, I mean, around 290 scholars, I mean, great scholars,
yeah, that's right.
graduated from his school.
That's right.
And those scholars, like, for example, Sheikh Khurra Ameli,
yeah.
I mean, Sheikh Khurra Ameli was a great scholar, was a very great man. I mean, one of his books is Wasail al-Shia. And Wasail al-Shia is the, I should like to say, a handbook, a comprehensive, in a word, a comprehensive encyclopedia of Shiite fiqh, Shiite legal rules. Yes,
right.
Yes.
Okay.
And I should like to say that in the Shiite denomination, the sayings, the texts, the discourses, the addresses, and the sermons of the infallible imams are very important, and they stand next in importance they stand next to the Holy Quran.
Right.
The late Allama Majlisi understood that. There were quite a lot of books available which he received from his predecessors, from his professors, and from other scholars. Since in those days there was no printing facility like today, the late Allama Majlisi didn't want to find any single piece of hadith, either from the Prophet or from any other of the infallible imams, be forgotten and to sink in the oblivion, in the oblivion of the history. The late Allama Majlisi devoted a long time to compiling and to recording all Shiite hadiths which he could have access to. And by today's standards, it can be regarded that it's a job to be carried out not by ordinary men, but by angels, okay? When I compare, the late Allama Majlisi's effort in compiling Bahar al-Anwar, which is only one of his books.
That's right.
Because Allama Majlisi, authored several other books, yeah, both in Arabic and in Persian. However, even if we imagine that Allama Majlisi produced no other work except the Bahar al-Anwar, the same book, Bahar al-Anwar, deserves the greatest honor. This single book deserves the greatest honor.
That's right. Okay, Dr. Fakhrani, we get to Bahar al-Anwar, or in fact, as the, you know, as you said, beside the other compilations of Allama Majlisi, you know, somehow we can say Bahar al-Anwar is the most important one, is highlighted. First of all, Bahar al-Anwar is translated as to, the, in fact, the oceans of light. Nowadays, we find it in 110 volumes,
yes,
which is, in fact, great. Because when we look at it, we can find it that it was an encyclopedia of historical subjects, you know, narrations and hadiths, or the sayings, in fact, of the Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt, as well as the exegesis of many of the verses of the Holy Quran, okay?
Yes.
So, such an encyclopedia was compiled in that time by Allama Majlisi. Where exactly these materials were collected from, Dr. Fakhrani?
Actually, it's a very good story to find out that how Allama Majlisi had access to all these books and resources.
Right.
Okay. Since he was a scholar, he had a very fine contacts, and he had wide connections.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. With professors and scholars and researchers, whatever he could have any contact with, okay?
That's right.
He collected the books. Some people may raise this objection that whatever included in Bahar al-Anwar can't be regarded as authoritative. Okay, because this I've seen that this is one of the objections raised against Bahar al-Anwar. The point is that between letting some hadiths be diminished in history, go extant in history, and restoring them for further verification later on in the history,
okay,
which one, which subject, or which project receives a priority? Needless to say, the latter, not the former. Okay, because in the time of Allama Majlisi, there were some efforts, to change the state denomination of Iran from Shiite to Sunnism. And there were some efforts in order to distort or to destroy some of the historical texts of the Shiites. What Allama Majlisi endeavored in compiling his great Bahar al-Anwar was that he tried to restore all of them. He tried to preserve them. He tried only to preserve them, leaving some further verification and technical projects to the posterity.
Thank you very much, Dr. Fakhrani. Shifting from the, in fact, we can say, the Shiite one to the Sunni, let's discuss these matters beside the other works of Allama Majlisi after taking a break, okay?
Okay.
Thank you very much. Okay, be with us. We are discussing the lives and the works of Allama Majlisi, one of the greatest Iranian scholars in the Shiite world. Taking a break, I'm back in a minute.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. created by the Master. Allah created you. You are very special, exclusively designed. You are very special, and I'm so glad you're mine. You are very special, there's only one of you. You are very special, and remember I love you. You were made by Allah, unique in all your ways. You were made by Allah to praise Him all your days.
Welcome back, dear Muslims from around the world. The Immortals, a program which is mainly concerned with the lives and works and the biographies of the Iranian Shiite dignitaries and scholars, is coming to you from the Kalamazan radio station. Okay, Dr. Fakhrani, in compiling Bahar al-Anwar, certainly, in fact, one important part and one highlighted part was because of the, we can say, the scholarship and the level of the knowledge of the masters and the professors or the teachers of Allama Majlisi, okay? Would you enumerate some of the most important teachers and we can say scholars, in fact, rolling as a teacher toward Allama Majlisi, and then get the wheel back to the Bahar al-Anwar?
Yes. Actually, in the life of any great scholar, we find that he benefited from the teachings and from the scholarly experiences of his or her professors,
right,
or educators. Just to name a few of them, Agha Hussein Khonsari, Mulla Muhammad Saleh Mazandarani, Mulla Muhsin Faiz Kashani, Sayyid Ali Khan Madani, and Sheikh Hurra Amili. Please note carefully that Mulla Muhsin Faiz Kashani was very much well known for a mystical interpretation of the Holy Quran.
Yeah.
Mystical moral interpretation of the Holy Quran. And the late Sheikh Hurra Amili, who is the author of Wasail al-Shi'a, compiled, in one sense, an encyclopedia of Shiite fiqh or Shiite rules of legal affairs. However, I should like to say that all his professors and predecessors contributed to his scholarship, and he was keen enough to make the most of this situation and this opportunity. Okay? Again, I should like to state that one of the most important contribution of the late Allama Majlisi was compiling the greatest encyclopedia of Shiite hadiths, which finds expression in Bahar al-Anwar.
That's right. And you were talking about the authenticity of
these
hadiths.
Yes, authenticity.
What about the authenticity? Are there any objections to this authenticity, or where these, in fact, hadiths were, in fact, gathered from? Where they were collected from?
First of all, let me tell you that in the world, I think in the world, it's a universal fact that only seminal religious books never receive any criticism. I mean, the Holy Quran doesn't receive any criticism.
Holy Scriptures.
Or the Scriptures in Christianity or in Buddhism. Next to these sources, all other texts are subject to receiving several criticisms, okay, and this is quite natural because this makes a part and parcel of scholarship. However, I should like to say that the job which the late Muhammad Baghir Majlisi carried out in compiling Bahar al-Anwar was that he was keen enough on the authenticity of hadiths. At the moment, he aimed to prevent these hadiths from sinking into the historical oblivion of people. He simply wanted to restore these hadiths, okay? And the job of verification or doing some other, research, he expected to be left to the posterity, okay? However, at the same time, let me tell you that since the late Allama Majlisi was living in Iran, was living in Isfahan, and his mother tongue was the Persian language,
yeah,
he was one of the first scholars, top-ranking religious scholars, who initiated a new line of scholarship. And this new line of scholarship finds expression not in his Arabic books, rather in his Persian books.
For example, Haqqul Yaqin was one of them. That the Truth of Certainty, which is in fact written in Persian. Although the title is Arabic,
yes,
but it is the language is the Persian, about which is mainly concerned with the Islamic tenets and beliefs.
Yes.
And this is very nice, that's why.
Yes. And the style of its Persian resembles, the Persian language of the day. And to some extent, we may find, that type of, Persian style a little bit, twisty for us. However, the book is very important because it gives you a survey of the main articles of faith in Shiite Islam, yeah, in Islam generally.
Right.
However, I should like to say that since Allama Meclisi understood that lay people, because of the lack of knowledge of Arabic, okay, they couldn't have access to those books, classical books, seminal volumes. He endeavored to translate some of them from Arabic into Persian, or to compile some books entirely in the Persian language, with the exception of Quranic verses or some hadiths, which must be indicated in the original language, in the Arabic language. Now, even the book which I have in front of me here, Tuhfat al-Za'ir, The Pilgrim's Gift, is in fact a compendium for pilgrims who go to religious places for the sake of performing a pilgrimage or ziyarat. Even in Bahar al-Anwar, there are at least 3 volumes of Bahar al-Anwar, which are entirely concerned with, pilgrimage and how to perform pilgrimages.
That's right. Just to inform our dear audience about the other books written in Persian language, I would like to say that in fact, Zadul Mu'ad is also another book written in Persian language, which is translated as Provisions for the Hereafter. It is on the special prayers, supplications and ziyarats to be performed in some outstanding days of the Arabic lunar Mars. Tuhfat al-Za'ir, you just give it the pilgrim's gift, including, yes, the ziyarats or prayers recited into the and 5 cancer holy shrines. Ainul Hayat is also another important book written in Persian, which is the head spring of life, consisting of preachers, sermons, and wise sayings excerpted from the Holy Quran and narrations of the Holy Ahl Bayt. Also, Hulyatul Muttaqin, or the beauties of the virtuous people, including all the moral precepts and recommendations prescribed for all aspects of the daily life of a Muslim. And the Tefek Khwani somehow, also Mishkatul Anwar, this is an abridged version of the, in fact, we can say Hayatul Ghulub. Somehow, when we look at the compilations of Allama Meclisi, we found it somehow, we can say, all knowing and all covering the aspects of life, from the morality to the supplications to the hadith to the holy, in fact. We can say, of course, these are the Persians. Or, for example, Jalalul Uyun, or in fact, Washing the Eyes, which was written also in Persian, which is a history of sulfur afflictions somehow imposed on the Holy Prophet and Ahl Bayt.
Just doing research.
That's right.
Yes, and I should like to say that besides having a very high IQ,
that's right,
which must be a prerequisite for carrying out any job in the world of scholarship,
yeah,
I think it was more than anything else, it was a special grace of God the Almighty on, yeah, such a personality to have the honor and grace of compiling so many books, related with Islamic articles of faith.
That's right.
And at the same time, he was so keen, not to include anything, anything untrustworthy,
yeah,
in his books. Such a person, such a great scholar like the late Allama Meclisi, even today when we look at his books, we find that he was really an ocean of knowledge.
Right.
He was far beyond ordinary men of scholarship. So in this way, I think the late Allama Meclisi can make a good role model for us.
Right.
Not only for our students, rather for our university professors and researchers, to devote the whole lifetime to a scholarship. As you know, writing books needs attention, right, and needs determination.
Yeah.
And more than anything else, it needs grace of God.
That's probably why Alain Malissi can be a nice model, in fact, a role model for all those authors, the compilers who are doing, in fact, research in the field of Islamic studies and religious studies. In fact, the Tafakwani, I would like to finish this program with the other works. We can say naming some other works of the Allama Malisi. For example, Hayatul Qulub, or The Life of the Hearts, which was written in Persian language in three volumes, was on the history of divine prophets and the infallible imams. Allama Malisi was also a very well, in fact, well-versed translator too.
Yes.
Because he translated some of the great books. For example, many books of some translation of the well-known hadith, such as, for example, the translation of the monotheistic lessons or Tawheed of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq to his disciple Mufazzal, you know, which is really great. And books are consisting of translation of prayers and supplications, like the translation of Ziyarat Jame Kabire or Vaid Samad Supplication.
Yes.
These are really nice. And some numerous monographs on various topics of Islamic jurisprudence and fiqh. He was really, you know, a great scholar. And, knowing Rijal, or survey of the authenticity of the chain of narrators, biography of Islamic dignitaries, tafsir, or the exegesis of the Holy Quran, usul, and, you know, he was an all-knowing scholar, Dr. Fakhr Rouhani. Thank you very much, Dr. Fakhr Rouhani. But, at the end, I would like to say that after 7 years, Alain Malissi demise and passed away at the age of 73. After 73 years of fruitful life, Allah Malisi finally passed away on the eve of 27th of Ramadan.
Yes.
11:10 AH in Isfahan, and the whole Islamic world, you know, became really deprived of the graces and blessings of this man. I've also heard that some of his works remained incomplete. Works like compilation of Bahar al-Anwar also, in fact, remained incomplete. And supplement, in fact, to Bahar al-Anwar was entitled as Mustadrakat al-Bahar and some other works.
Yes.
God bless him. Thank you very much, Dr. Fakhr Rouhani, to be here. And, in fact, elaborating very nice and discussing the lives and the works of a very important Iranian scholar, that is Allama Majlisi.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Welcome. You're welcome. Dear Muslims, all the staff of this program wish to enjoy it. You know, with the presence of Dr. Fakhr Rouhani, inshallah, the program The Immortals will be concerned with the lives and works of the Persian Shiite scholars in different fields of studies. Thank you very much for listening to this program. We'll be happy with your votes and comments at coi@sinarabi.ir. You can also refer to our website at www.coiradio.com. Thank you very much again for listening to this program. Wait for our upcoming programs under the title The Immortals. Have a nice time and goodbye.
If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me, proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away, proudly she would say, I am a Muslim. ديني الإسلام ديني والعرض بغير ديني محمد اللي هديني نور الإيمان.